Okay, so today we are going to do a deep dive into the story of King Asa from the books of Kings.
Oh, nice.
And we'll be using a lecture series by Dr. John Oswald to guide us.
Yeah, he's a great resource for this kind of thing.
Yeah, he really gets into the complexities of Asa's reign. And, you know, it's a story not just about unwavering faith,
right,
but also about some surprising twists and turns that teach us about leadership and the danger of human reliance.
Exactly.
So, yeah, I think it'll be a really interesting one.
I'm excited.
Okay, so to set the stage, the kingdom of Judah is at kind of a turning point, right? You've got a series of short, turbulent reigns, and then Asa comes along and rules for 41 years.
Yeah, and during the same period, the northern kingdom is in total chaos.
Right, exactly.
So his reign really stands out as like a stabilizing force for Judah.
And it's interesting that the Bible mentions the length of Asa's reign right alongside the detail that he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord.
Mm.
It just makes you wonder, you know, was there a connection between his steadfast faith and the stability of his kingdom?
I mean, absolutely.
Yeah.
And when you look closer, you see Asa taking some pretty decisive action.
Right.
I mean, he purges pagan practices, removing male shrine prostitutes and idols.
Whoa.
But he doesn't stop there.
Like, he goes all the way.
Yeah. He even goes so far as to depose his own grandmother, Maacah.
Whoa.
From her powerful position as queen mother.
Oh, wow. Because she was like, what, promoting idolatry or something?
Yeah, exactly. Because of her idolatry, oh. You know, he wasn't afraid to challenge those deeply ingrained traditions, even within his own family, to uphold his faith.
Wow. And he actually burned her idol in the Kidron Valley.
Yeah.
That detail, it just brings the story to life.
It does.
It shows how serious he was.
Exactly.
But then we come to this curious detail.
Yeah.
So scripture describes Asa's heart as completely God's, perfect toward the Lord all his life.
Right.
But he didn't remove the high places of worship.
Yeah, that's a really interesting point.
So can you remind me what these high places were?
Yeah, so the high places were sites of worship, often on like hills or elevated areas.
Okay.
That predated the centralized temple in Jerusalem.
Hmm, okay.
While not necessarily dedicated to pagan gods, they represented a departure from the centralized worship God prescribed in Deuteronomy.
Yay.
So even though Asa's heart was devoted to God, his actions weren't entirely in line with the religious practices of the time.
It just makes you think, how do we reconcile those two things? Like, how can someone be so devoted to God,
right,
but still fall short of perfect obedience?
Yeah. And you know what's interesting is that this isn't just a historical curiosity.
Yeah.
It raises a question that's relevant for all of us today.
For sure.
You know, how do we assess the faithfulness of leaders?
Yeah.
Or even ourselves.
Right.
When our actions don't perfectly align with our beliefs.
That's such a good point.
It's a fascinating paradox.
Yeah.
And, you know, Dr. Oswald, he suggests that while Asa's actions weren't perfect,
right,
his commitment to God was genuine. Perhaps it's a reminder that true devotion isn't about achieving some kind of flawless checklist,
yeah,
of religious actions. It's about the deeper condition of the heart.
I like that.
Yeah, it's about the heart.
Yeah, that's encouraging. You know, even with imperfections, genuine devotion is still recognized.
Right.
But as we move into the next part of Asa's story,
yeah,
we encounter kind of a critical turning point.
Uh-huh.
So tensions are rising. Baasha, the king of Israel, is starting to encroach on Judah's territory.
Yeah.
This conflict really puts Asa's faith to the test.
It does.
So what happened?
Well, instead of turning to God for guidance,
okay,
like he did during that earlier invasion.
Right, with the Cushites.
Yeah, with the Cushites. Asa makes a decision that has some far-reaching consequences.
Okay.
He seeks help from the king of Syria,
yeah,
sending him treasures from the temple, yeah, and his own palace.
So he's like making a big deal about this.
Yeah, to secure an alliance.
I mean, wouldn't we all want a powerful ally in a time of conflict? So I don't know.
Right. On the surface, it might seem like a smart political strategy.
Yeah.
But then the prophet Hanani enters the scene.
Oh.
And he delivers this scathing critique.
Oh, no.
Of Asa's actions.
Wow.
He says, because you relied on the king of Aram and not on the Lord your God, the army of the king of Aram has escaped from your hand.
That's a direct rebuke.
It is.
I mean, it's interesting. Hanani doesn't just point out the mistake.
Right.
He draws a contrast.
Exactly.
Like, he reminds Asa of a time when he did rely on God.
Right.
And God delivered him.
Exactly.
It's like, what were you thinking?
Yeah.
You know, you've seen this before.
Exactly.
What do you think motivated Hanani,
mm-hmm,
to speak so strongly to a king known for his piety?
Well, it seems Hanani was concerned that Asa's actions represented like a shift away from reliance on God.
Mm.
Perhaps he saw this alliance as a dangerous precedent,
okay,
potentially leading Judah down a path of dependence on human strength
right.
rather than divine power.
So it's highlighting the tension between faith and our human tendency to rely on worldly solutions.
Yeah, exactly.
There's another layer to this too, isn't there?
Yeah.
It's this huge contrast between Asa's prayerful dependence on God
right.
during the battle with the Cushites and then this hasty alliance with Syria.
Yeah.
It's almost like he forgot what worked before.
It really underscores the inconsistency of human nature, right?
Yeah.
Even someone like Asa, described as having a heart fully devoted to God,
right.
could still stumble and make choices that contradicted his faith.
Yeah, it's a good reminder that we all face those moments where our actions don't align with our deepest convictions.
Absolutely.
So it's like Hanani saying, remember who you are, remember what God has done for you. But how does Asa respond to this prophetic wake-up call?
Well, Asa doesn't take the criticism very well.
Oh.
Instead of reflecting humbly on his actions, he imprisons Hanani.
He imprisoned the prophet?
Yeah, out of anger.
Wow. That seems like a very extreme reaction.
Yeah.
From someone we've been discussing as being a righteous king.
It's a stark reminder that none of us are immune to those moments of defensiveness.
Hmm.
You know, I remember a time when I received some constructive criticism about a project I was working on.
Yeah.
Logically, I knew the feedback was valid.
Yeah.
But emotionally, I felt this urge to push back and defend my work.
Yeah.
It took me a while to recognize that I was reacting out of pride,
right.
not a desire for growth.
It's so human, isn't it?
It is.
That urge to protect ourselves, even when we know we might be in the wrong.
Absolutely.
And it seems like Asa's reaction was driven by that same impulse.
Yeah. Instead of taking Hanani's words to heart, he lashes out and silences the messenger.
It really reveals a lot about the complexities of leadership, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely.
Right.
And Dr. Oswalt points out this fascinating observation about this. He notes that the accounts of all the good kings in Judah, including Asa, and on a somewhat negative note, there's this recurring pattern of faithfulness followed by a moment of weakness or failure.
Yeah, it's humbling to realize that even the most righteous leaders are still human, you know, prone to making mistakes.
Yeah, absolutely.
But why do you think we see this pattern repeated throughout the Bible?
Well, perhaps it's meant to remind us that no human leader, no matter how good their intentions, can ever fully live up to God's standards. You know, our hope shouldn't be placed in them.
Okay.
But in God alone.
It's like Asa's story is not just some historical account. It's like a reflection of the human condition, the struggle to live up to our ideals.
Right, exactly.
Okay, so as we get into Asa's later years, we read about him developing a severe foot disease. That must have been so painful. Did he turn back to God for healing?
That's where things get interesting.
Okay.
The text tells us that Asa sought help from physicians. But doesn't mention him seeking God's intervention.
That's a striking omission, especially considering his earlier reliance on God, you know, during the Cushite invasion.
Yeah.
Do you think his experience with Hanani might have made him hesitant to seek divine help?
It's certainly possible sometimes when we encounter criticism, even if it's well-intentioned, it can make us hesitant to be vulnerable and seek guidance.
It's almost like we're admitting defeat. Or acknowledging our weakness.
Exactly.
Yeah, I get that. It's like that saying, once bitten, twice shy. We have one negative experience, and it makes us wary of putting ourselves out there again, even if it means missing out on something good.
Right. It's a good reminder that spiritual growth is an ongoing process.
Yeah.
We're all works in progress. And even seasoned leaders like Asa can be affected by past experiences.
But even with those ups and downs, you know, his legacy of faithfulness and his unwavering commitment to God had a profound impact on Judah.
It did.
He laid a foundation for future generations.
Absolutely.
So as we wrap up this deep dive into the life of King Asa, what's the key takeaway you hope listeners will remember?
I think Asa's life offers a really powerful, multifaceted lesson. It inspires us to cultivate a heart that is fully devoted to God, you know, to pursue righteousness with passion and conviction. But it also cautions us against placing our ultimate hope in human leaders, even those with the best of intentions.
Because ultimately, we're all human, you know, prone to those mistakes and inconsistencies.
Right.
Our hope rests not in the perfection of human leaders, but in the unwavering faithfulness of God.
Exactly. And that's where Dr. Oswalt leaves us with a final comforting thought.
Yeah.
He reminds us that even in the midst of our imperfections, God's grace is sufficient and his love is unwavering.
That's a beautiful reminder, especially as we navigate these complexities of leadership, faith, and just the human experience in general.
Yeah.
We can strive for excellence, for wholehearted devotion, but our ultimate security lies in the God who never fails, even when we do.
Well said.
Thanks for joining us on this deep dive into the life of King Asa. We hope you've discovered some insightful nuggets along the way.